WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our jazz critic Kevin Whitehead is playing and discussing the music of a half dozen modern jazz mavericks in his series Avant-Garde Made Easy. Today in part five, saxophonist Albert Eiler. He was born in Cleveland in 1935 and began recording in 1962. 8 years later, he was an apparent murder victim, his body dredged from New York's East River. During those 8 years, Eiler recorded unorthodox versions of standards, respectful readings of spirituals, early jazz rock records, and some of the most radical free jazz ever. His fans included John Coltrane, whose own late recordings reflect Eiler's influence. This is Eiler's most famous composition, Ghosts.
No one in jazz was as far out and far in as Albert Eiler. Far out in terms of how he improvised. Far in terms of the songs he wrote to improvise on. They sounded like a jumble of bugle calls, national anthems, nursery rhymes, and drinking songs. Tenor saxophonist Albert Eiler with his trumpet-playing brother Donald, a frequent collaborator. Music ran in the family. As a boy, Albert had studied music and listened to jazz with his father. They'd also played saxophone duets in church. As a memento, Albert later recorded an album of spirituals. Gospel saxophonists typically use a wide vibrato to make their sound more voice-like and unworldly. Eiler took that lesson to heart. His exaggerated vibrato also echoes old New Orleans jazz musicians when they'd play spirituals. Trumpeter Kid Howard and clarinetist George Lewis. Albert Eiler also liked slow drag tempos, but he'd stretch time even further. He stretched everything, time, pitch, and the very fabric of a saxophone sound. Once Eiler had developed that sound, the problem was deciding what went with it, what context might be suitable for it. In Denmark in 1963, he made a perversely memorable record of standards with a straight local rhythm section. Big mistake. Worlds in collision. What Eiler needed was a band that could stretch time and tonality the way he did. In 1964, he led a trio which remains one of the great radical jazz groups. Like their boss, bassist Gary Peacock and drummer Sonny Murray stretched the roles of their instruments almost to the breaking point. The trio's music has an intensity and fervor that are hard to match. But it had shape, too. Eiler's tunes have such clear outlines, Even a suggestion of the melody yokes the improvising to the material. Albert Eiler's folksy tunes and abstract improvising may seem contradictory, but you could trace both to his church upbringing. He always saw music as having a spiritual dimension. Think of his meandering solos on basic tunes as a kind of meditation on sacred texts, or speaking in tongues, to use an analogy writers invoked in the 1960s. As for his plain-spoken melodies, with titles like Spirits Rejoice, Holy Holy, and A Little Prayer, it helps to remember that bugle calls, national anthems, nursery rhymes, and drinking songs are all designed to bring people together. Prayer, testifying, and fostering a sense of community are what Eiler's music as well as church-going is about. In that light, even his amusingly misguided jazz rock records of the late 60s make sense, reflecting his ecumenical vision and will to reach everyone. Albert Eiler's raucous sound and populist leanings may give cultural conservatives the blues, but his initiatives were always faith-based.
Kevin Whitehead is based in Chicago. For more on his series, go to our website, freshair.com. I'm Cherie Gross.